Hi everybody, this is Della from The Beauty of Play, and this week we're going to go over an overview of multiplication and teaching multiplication and how it progresses. I do want to take a second to apologize for the length of this video. It ended up being far longer than what I had anticipated. And I promise I will give you something much lighter on the next drop so that you can have the month to digest all this material. With that said, let's get started. One of the best pieces of advice that I got early on when homeschooling was from a veteran homeschooler that told me after we count proficiently to 100 to start counting in skip counting, to teach skip counting. And that is the first thing that I start out with in my curricula with quality of numbers is skip counting, counting and skip counting. And I really like the outside active kind of things. So we do this on an outside number line, a physical number line drawn in chalk. You can also use painter's tape to do this, and we're just skip counting. Now, if you are using my curricula, multiplication and division, 1 through 3, after the introduction to skip counting in quality of numbers, we introduce the skip counting in this order. First tens, because those are the easiest. And we're not even really, you can't really jump from 1 to 10. So it's like run and jump, or if you have more than 3 or more children, you can have them pick up one child and then set them at 10 and pick up the child and set them at 20. But basically you're introducing the tens first. And then the fives, because they also have a very easy rhythm and they include the tens. And then we go back to the twos, and then I go to fours. The order after this is not quite so important. And then I go 8 and back down to 3, 6, 9, and the last one is 7. And I go over the logic for this in multiplication and division, but mostly this is the easiest order. Now, when we have our tens and fives underway, after two, the order is not quite so important. These are done in multiplication because 4 are doubles 2 and 8 are doubles 4. And so those patterns help in the memorization of our multiplication table. And all that's laid out, and we can talk about that, those patterns, at a later time if you're interested. But we definitely start out by skip counting. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, or 3, 6, 9, 12, 15, 18, so forth. Something that happens at the same time that we're learning skip counting is a concept called subitizing in math. And this is basically being able to group a set of objects and understand how much they are. When I think of this, I think of our six-sided dotted dice. So being able to see a dot and look at it and know how much that is. And this comes really easy to some children. And it's a little bit more challenging to others. There's a great game called Tiny Polka Dots from Math for Love. I love Math for Love. You should also check out their website. They have a plethora of activities that children can do that are math oriented and different than worksheets. They also are the creators of the game Prime Climb. So in subitizing, it's a weird word, I think. We also start to learn number bonds that go with these, where we quickly assess that if we have two here and we have two here, it's four. If we have two and two and one in the middle, it's five. And then two groups of three is six, and so forth. So this is happening at the same time, and this is going to be important later. For instance, we can begin to make arrays. Arrays are the next step in this journey, and I'm using dots here, but it doesn't matter what your manipulatives are. You can use the 1-inch cubes from the Cuisenaire rods. You can use branches from outside, acorns. My children love to collect nature things when we would go on walks outside. So grab a basket and collect some acorns or flowers or whatever and start arranging those in arrays. And these arrays allow us to skip count because we can see that there's three in a row here, and we can skip count 3, 6, 9. I know I have 9. Everything is a quick way of counting, and this is a natural development in the build up to the concept of multiplication in general. Our number based system is a 10 based system, and when you're subitizing, 10 is not the easiest to look at a group and say, oh, that is 10. But what we can do is look at a group and start making tens. For instance, 5 and 3 and 2 is 10. So this group has 13. And this number bond in conjunction with subitizing is really important. But in the concept of multiplication, I think the arrays are really important there. Moving from arrays to single colored trains. This is the earliest part of multiplication. And sometimes when you're working with a number, say we're working with 10, we will see if we can make a single colored train that gives us 10. In this case, it is our red rods, which equal to, and we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of them. So 5 times 2. In the beginning, when you're working with multiplication, you don't even have to write the language, but eventually you want to explain that when we have a single color train, we can just count them. Or sometimes this comes up organically. For instance, if we know in math language that this is addition and we are writing 2 plus 2 plus 2 plus 2 plus 2, at some point we're going to get pretty tired of writing plus 2. And what you can say is, mathematicians have a shorthand for this. They like efficiency. So we're just going to count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We've got 5 2s. We're going to use this sign right here for of. This is our multiplication sign. It means we have of so many of something else. In this case, we have 5 of 2s. Or 5 reds. If you're using Galletno's work, he starts in algebra and he would write that as 5R. We've got a total of 5R, and then he introduces the multiplication symbol, or he might write 5 times R so that there's an understanding that we are counting the quantity of the 2s that we have. And we know from 5 and the factors, although you can go through each one of these, and I do in the multiplication and division, there's different ways to approach the same thing. There are different paths to getting the same place. So in this one, if we're going step by step, we know that 10 ones, and I'm not going to bother to put those there, fit there, and 5 twos equal 10, and then this expression, we need one other red one there. This expression is 3 greens, so 3g plus a white, if you're doing Gattegno's work. If you're not, then this would be 3 times 3 plus 1. And here we want to talk a little bit about parentheses and order, because this is really important and how it's done. What is done first here? We know from order of operation that this works, but if you don't know that, you might want to know we're going to do this first and then we're going to do this, because if you're doing it a different way, order matters. Okay, I'm trying not to get distracted with too many other concepts than multiplication. We can go through this entire thing if you want, but a lot of multiplication focuses on completely single color trains. So if we were doing that with 5, we would have this right here. 5 of 2s and 2 of 4s. And eventually, fives. They will come to know the cumulative property for multiplication, which basically means it doesn't matter which order you have it in, the product is the same. We can have 5 twos or 2 fives, but the product is going to stay the same if the numbers are the same. If we are using an abacus, we can do this a couple of different ways. You can make arrays. If we're working with 3s, 3, 6, 9, 12, and you can work with the arrays in this way where you're putting the same number over and skip counting as you go through. You can also skip count there we go you can skip count by moving 3 at a time, 3, 6, 9, and then 1 here and 2 here, and this will illustrate our regrouping. 15, 18, 2 here and then 1 here, so 21, and you can also see the total easier. Since each one of these is 10, we can see that this is 10, 20, and 21. And this is also helpful if you're skip counting by 10, because then you can use that for counting. For instance, if you've gone up to this, it's not easy to see quickly that this is 6 rows, but you can count 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, and then however many are left for if this is 64, kind of thing. So on the abacus, you can do this a couple different ways for early multiplication: counting in arrays, making arrays this way, or you can just do skip counting for however many. And for if you are looking at, let's move them this way. Let's say we're wanting to know what this number is. It's pretty easy here to skip count 10, 20, and then 5 to know this is 25, but maybe we want to count it by 5s, and you can just play with that. 5, 10, 15, 20, 25. We had 25 there. Or if you want to skip count by 3s, 3, 6, 9, 12, 15, 18, and then 21. From single colored trains, we are going to move into what's called area multiplication. And with this, what we start to see is a very clear understanding of the commutative property. Okay, so we're going to move these. Area multiplication is basically a rectangle. In this case, we're going to move these five reds into a rectangle there, and these five twos. We still have the same number. This is 5 times 2, and this is 2 times 5. 2 of 5 and 5 times 2. But what we notice is they are the exact same size. And when you work into factoring, which is highly connected to multiplication, and you see how many single colored trains, and in the beginning I'm not even sure that they know that it's called factoring, but how many single colored trains can we get for 12? Here we've just made our 12 with 10 in red because we don't have a 12 rod. And we know that one always works. We can always fit the ones in here. And then we can just go through. Can we make a single color train with twos? And we can. And I chose 12 because 12 has so many factors. So we can fit the twos in here. Can we fit threes? We can. We have 4 threes. Can we fit the fours? We can. We can also fit sixes. And then after six, because six is our halfway mark, and you don't stop here with the children, you continue all the way through. But eventually they will realize that once you meet the halfway mark, there are no other factors. You can't use any other single trains. So if we were to write this out, this would be 1 by 12, right? We have 1 12. This is 12 ones. On the twos, we have 6 twos, 6 of 2. So this multiplication symbol is replacing of. Then we have 4 threes, 3 fours, and 2 sixes. That is our expression, and when we start to move these into rectangles, we begin, and when we do this exercise repeatedly, we begin to see a pattern here. There are actually several different patterns, but I'm going to show you these patterns. We begin to see that some of our rectangles have the same shape. So these threes fit directly onto our fours. So we can very clearly see that 3 fours is the same as 4 threes. They are the exact same size. They equal the same thing. And the same is true for our twos and sixes. We can very clearly see that 6 twos is the same as 2 sixes. So that concept is very easily seen, and this moving into area model multiplication using rectangles preps us for more advanced multiplication later on. It also gives us the chance to just skip count by multiples, 3, 6, 9, 12. You can still do that in a train, but this is a little easier. Moving into more intermediate multiplication, we're going to talk about higher level area model multiplication. But before we do that, I want to go over a few things that are necessary for understanding this. The first one, and this is like the foundation of all of math, is to understand that plasticity of numbers, the ability to pull apart and put back together to aid us in whatever calculation that we're doing. They're like clay. We're pulling them apart, putting them back together. This is called decomposition and recomposition in math. Okay, so it's important that we know that 12 is made up of 10 and 2. We can do this 12. And the vast majority of our manipulations happen by place value. So we are separating by tens and then the ones, whatever they are, tens and ones. And sometimes that requires regrouping, where we are taking this 12 and substituting it with the 10 and 2, because we're always looking for tens. But occasionally, our decomposition and recomposition is not based on tens. It's based on numbers that we can manipulate easily. Some of those are multiples of 25, multiples of 50, and sometimes 15, depending on how familiar a child is with the number 15 and if they can skip count by 15s. But that is a good number, I feel like, to memorize for skip counting. The other aspect that needs to be well understood before moving into this is place value, which is very similar in understanding that this one is talking about a 10. That's how many tens we have. And this place is how many ones we have. So if we have 13, this one here, because it is in the tens place, is 1. It means 1 10, and then this place here means 1 3. So that's really important for them to understand. There needs to be a bit of place value work before you move on to more complex multiplication. And in addition to that, we need to understand the multiplication by magnitudes of 10. So what I mean by that is they need to understand that if we are multiplying a number, it can be anything, times 10, basically what happens to the small numbers happens to the big numbers. So if we have 2 tens, we are doubling those. Those become 20, right? And if we have 100 times 2, we do the same thing. We double the 100, it becomes 200. That leads into a little more complex, where when we multiply two numbers that are both tens, we have 110 and 210. We can multiply these right here and then place zeros. If we have 10 20s, we have a total of 200. So in the same way that this pattern, 1 times 10, 2 times 10, 3 times 10, that we see in multiplying with tens, where we're multiplying the 1 and then adding the 0, that continues on for larger numbers. Like, we know that 10 tens equals 100, usually from our work with the tens and the regrouping. And so here we see we're multiplying these first numbers and they have an equal number of zeros. So there needs to be that understanding of multiplying by multiples of 10, at least multiplying by 10 in the beginning. Like, they need to understand what happens when you multiply by 10 in the beginning, that you're basically adding a zero to the product before you start moving into two-digit by one-digit multiplication. The other thing that I want to talk about that are not really concepts that need to be made, but that a teaching process, is that we are scaffolding through multiplication. We're not starting with two-digit by two-digit. We're starting as simply as we can, and two things to think about in this is regrouping. What requires regrouping and the number of digits. So when we're starting out the basic level. We've got one digit by one digit, right? And now we're going to move into one digit by two digit. Ideally, when you start this one by two process, there's no regrouping, which means for multiplication, you have to use really small numbers. For instance, we might use 13 times 3. There's no regrouping here because our two ones do not multiply to a product over 10. So let's look at this 13 by 2 or 3. With our rods, we're basically making three sets of 13. I have 13 by 3 written here, but if it was written in the way that I've made it here, it's actually 3 times 13. And that's really the way you want to start. You eventually want to be talking, evaluating the problem. Is it easier to do, to calculate this by making 13 threes or 3 13s? And you can make both of them and talk about that. You want to talk about evaluating problems and which way is the easiest for us to solve them. With the rods, it is easier to do 3 times 13. Okay, so we have this here, and I talked about recomposition, right? Decomposition and recomposition. So that means we're going to split them right here at place value between the 10 and the 1. And we're going, using the rods, this happens naturally. But I'm going to show you an instance where that is slightly different. It's better on paper, but you can still see it with the rods. So when we're splitting it here, we now have two rectangles. This is our area model. Eventually, you want to be illustrating this on paper by drawing those rectangles. We have 3 on this side, and then 10 plus 3 on this side. This is our rectangle. These are our rods. We know this is 3 tens. We can just see it quickly because of our subitizing that this is 3 tens, and we know from our work with tens that this is 30. If we're doing this in drawing, we can just put 30 there. This will be 3 by 10. And this is 3 by 3, and that gives us a total of 9. We can skip count if we don't have our multiplication tables memorized, but if we do, we just know that's 9. So our product, our total for the entire piece is 39. Okay, here is 3 times 27. And this is one of those where I was saying that we don't always have to separate by place value. 27 is very close to 25. And 25 is a number that, because of our money, we skip count very easily. So I'm going to replace our 7s with 5. So I have 25 here and 3. I feel like this is something that is more efficient on paper or even mental math. If we have 3 times 27, then it would be with the rods. But I'm going to show you with the rods so that you can see what is happening. So we have 3 25s here and 3 2s here. So we know that this is 75. Because of our work with 25s. So 75 and 6, which gives us 81. You can do it the other way. And I suggest that you talk about this. This build it. What are all the different ways that we can calculate what this is? There are all kinds of different ways to do it. Exploring that is beneficial to a child. Being able to have flexibility in the way that you think about math is really helpful. Okay, so you can separate it by place value, this is 20 by 3, so we can count 30, 60, right? We can count by 3s here, 3, 6. I've got 6 tens, so that's 60. And then 3 sevens is 21, so 60 and 21 is 81. You can do it either way, but I wanted to show you something slightly different than separating by place value. Eventually, we're going to move into one digit. We're still in the teens here, and that's important with our two digit. We're scaffolding a piece at a time. We're still in our teens. We're going to do a teen by, I'm going to do by four this time, four of them, and we're going to do something that requires regrouping at this point. So we're scaffolding up through our multiplication problem, starting with the least complex and working into more complex numbers. So in this case, I have 4 times 14. You can do the rod work for a while first and then move to paper. When you do move to paper, it's important that you are drawing the concepts. We want to try to get all kinds of different mediums, options, visual, tangible, manipulatives in different ways. The more complex ways that we look at math, the better flexibility and understanding children have. So in addition to doing the rods here, we want to be sure to draw these in our book. So we've got this separated. On this side, we have 10 plus 4, which gives us our 14. And on this side, we have 4. We can see that these 4 are 40, and these 4 are 16. So we have a total of 56 here. Okay, with the rods, the next thing that we're going to move into are two-digit by one digit. Here, I'm going to put this in our list here. Well, I'm going to make a new list. One digit by one digit is what we started out with. This was no regrouping, and it was teens. And then we're going to do two digit by one digit with regrouping, still teens. Now we're going to do two digit by one digit and they're greater than teens. We want to start looking at our 20s and 30s. So we're going to start building these. Let's look at 4 times 26. You can also scaffold in the same way by doing a piece at a time, not trying to do the paper and the rods at the same time. In fact, we often have a whiteboard that I am using so that these are placed on top and I can just write, you know, I have 4 on this side of my rectangle, 20 on this side, and 6 on this side. So I can write on the whiteboard what we are doing, and then I can move this and put this 4 times 10. I have 4 10 rods here so that we are doing that. But initially, there doesn't have to be any writing, and you can move into the writing. You want to eventually move into the writing and paper where you are drawing that rectangle. This is 20 and 6, and this is 4. And what do those look like? So now we're doing more complex. We need to understand we're still separating by place value. Here are tens, here are ones. We have 20 on this side now. 4 20s is how much? This is where we need to understand multiplying by magnitudes of 10. and multiplying by multiples of tens, hundreds, and so forth. So we know this is 80. We can skip count it if we need to. 40, 80, and this is 24. So I think that brings our total 80 and 24 to 104. There. So from this aspect, when we've done this, and we've done it here, and each one of these, we're going back and we're going to do abacus work with also, which I'm going to show you is very different than the abacus work that you did earlier, just like. Okay, let's look at some of the abacus. I'm going to see if I can push this back far enough that it can be in the screen. You see that I've taken a piece of masking tape and taped it along the sides. We're going to change our abacus now so that we can relate to the numbers easier. I have half of the rows for ones and half of the rows for tens. And this means that I can only multiply by five, because I only have five rows to make those arrays. We're gonna work on these in arrays as well. Okay, if we are looking at, and we're going to start out in the same way that we did before, we're scaffolding. So when you're looking at one digit by one digit, you're gonna use the abacus, you're gonna do the rods, and a few other things, maybe pictures. Then we're going to move from one digit by two digit, and we're going to use the rods, and then we're going to use the abacus, and then we're going to draw pictures. You see where I'm going here? Like each step that we take, we're using multiple ways to calculate and find those answers and to see, physically see and move what is going on, to understand better what is going on with multiplication. Okay, so let's look at, I think we started out 3 by 17, I can't remember, but if we have 3, we'll start with our tens first. We can do 17, right? Which is 1 10 and then 7. That's 1 17. If I have 3 17s, that gives me 2 17s, and there's 3 17s. Now I have 3 17s, correct? And I'm just realizing this starts out with regrouping, so it wasn't 17 that I used initially, but you would still, I think it was 13, and this would be 3 13s. These are our 10s, so we have 1, 2, 3 10s. And we have 9. So our total is 39, 3 13s. Okay, if we move into 17, more complex ones, these are our 10s represented here. So all the beads on these 5 rows are 10s. We still have 3 10s, so that's 30. But now we're having to do some regrouping. 3 times 7 is 21, right? So we're going to add 10, these two 10s up here with these 10s, giving us 50 and then 1. All right, when we get into more complex numbers, 2 digits, 3 digits, by whatever. You don't quite need as many tens as you do ones, and you can adjust this board and its meaning separately. When we do addition and subtractions, there's 2 rows for ones, 2 for tens, 2 for hundreds, and so forth. This will make it all the way to, let's see, 10 or 1, 10, hundreds, 1 to 10,000. Okay. Adding numbers to 10,000, doing it this way. There are other ways to do abacus. Okay, so now we're moving with the abacus, or in general, to more complex number. We're going to do 2 digit,
by one digit, and this time we're going to require regrouping, and it can be bigger than teens. So let's do 23 by 5, right? So first we're doing 5 20s. Those are our 20s, and now we have to do 5 5s. Or did I say 23 by 5? 5 23s, so we need to do 5 3s. And this is using all of our 5s, and I talked about this earlier, how we can only do by 5, by multiplying by 5 with this. You can move this down here, and these are the tens, and instead of building the array this way, you can do 10, 10, you know, build them this way, kind of thing, in groups of tens. But here, for our purposes, we're multiplying 5 by 23, so we have 5 groups of 23, 5 groups of 20, 5 groups of 3. This is 2, 4, 6, 8, 10. I've got 10 tens, which gives us 100, and 3, 6, 9, 12, 15. And 3 by 5, or 5 threes, is 15. So I have 115 total for my answer. And you can continue in this way, practicing with the abacus in this way. Let's talk about how we're writing this on paper based on the work we're doing on abacus. So when we are doing the abacus that way, our pictures can change. This is a very common way. If you know the base 10 system, you know that the 10 by 10 blocks represent our 100, and then we have the rods, which are 10, and then we have the ones, which get represented as dots. So if we are looking at, what example? We used 5 times 23 on our abacus. We can draw this. 5 20s, right? 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, which is actually 100 because I have two of each of those. And then threes. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. So we have 5 by 23. This is represented 23. And we can just count those. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10. I have 10 tens, which I know are 100, and then 3, 6, 9, 12, 15. So 100 plus 15 is 115. You can also do it this way. 5 times 23, we know that that's 5 20s. So there's 20, there's 20, there's 20, there's 20, and there's 20. Those are all of our tens, and then our threes would be 5 groups of 3. It ends up being the same way. It's just a different picture drawings of this. This is slightly different than the area model multiplication with the rods, but it's a very valid, and I always suggest, even to the students that I'm tutoring into high school, draw the problem out. Being able to see what is going on is highly useful. And I know that that sometimes is taboo in some circles for drawing or using manipulatives, but I am telling you, even mathematicians are using models. They are not trying to calculate all of this stuff in their head without visually or manipulatively being able to see what's going on. Let's talk about the distributive property a little bit. And we can see this both with our abacus work and with our rods. When we are working with our rods and we are multiplying some number by a larger number, so in this case 4 by 14, we can see that we have 4 tens and 4 fours. And when we start to work with larger numbers that are greater than 10, let me get some rods out here so we can have, there we go. We'll use 12 by 14. And we start splitting both numbers by place value. We can really see the distributive property at work. And the distributive property really is everything multiplied by everything. In our house, we often call it crisscross applesauce, and this is in relation to Vedic multiplication, which really uses this as an algorithm to their benefit. Okay, so we're used to separating it by place value this way. What we also want to do is separate it by place value the other way. So this is 14 on this side, and we want to replace these. Actually, I want to replace these with, we know that 14 fours is the same as, or 10 fours is the same as 40, so we're going to replace it here. Basically, we're still making our square. We've got 14 on this side, we've got 14 on this side. We're using as many tens as possible. And we are separating it all by place value. And here you can really see the distributive property come to life. We have to multiply this 10 by 10. We have to multiply this 10 by 4. We have to multiply this 3, or this, I have, yeah, this 3 by 10, and we have to multiply this 3 by 4 here. So everything gets multiplied by everything. And the more work that you do, the more understanding that we'll have. But also, it's important that we're explicit about that in the distribution property. We have to make sure that every digit is multiplied by every other digit. And we also have to understand place value. We're not multiplying here by 1, even though there's a 1 in this place value for 14. Or here for 13, we're multiplying by 10 and 10, which gives us 100 in this quadrant right here. And we're multiplying by 10 on this side because our 1 is in the tens place. When we're doing area model multiplication, I encourage you to go ahead and write, okay, we have, in this case, we're multiplying 13 by 14. We have, when we're drawing our box, this 1 is in the tens place, so this is 10 plus 3. We're going to separate this by 10 plus 3, by place value, and this 10 plus 4. So when you're writing it on paper, it's easy to see in the blocks. I encourage you to write here in the, on the outside of the blocks, the tens versus 14. So they can see that we're working at with tens because of the place value that it's in. That moves us into more complex multiplication. And you can continue to use the rods or a combination of the rods. I can replace these 10 tens with my 100 block. So you can use the combination, or if you want to, you can just use the base 10 blocks. So if we have, you know, something like 23 times 13, we know we need 23 on this side. And I can use as many as I need. Or I really like the rods. I like the different colors. You can really see what's going on there. I like that the colors represent different numbers. So I have 23 on this side. I'm building a rectangle, and I'm going to have 13 on the other side. So I'm going to use as many tens as I can. This gives me 13. And then I see that I need a 3x3 here. So I'm going to use 3x3s. We're going to separate these by place value like we talked about before. That's going to give us 4 quadrants because we're multiplying 2-digit by 2-digit. If we multiply 3-digit by 2-digit, then the quadrants that we have are going to be a 2x3, which is 6 quadrants. And again, that's everything multiplied by everything, the distributive property. So here we see, can easily see quickly, we have 200s, and then I have 30 over here, and 30 and 30. So I have a total of 90, and here I have a 9. So I have 199 for this example here. Again, the same with the earlier when we started 2-digit by 1-digit work, there needs to be an understanding of decomposition and recomposition of numbers. We are separating here and then putting them back together. There needs to be an understanding of place value, and there needs to be an understanding of magnitudes of 10 and multiplying by magnitudes of tens. So tens, hundreds, thousands, and so forth, like what that means. We also need to approach this from several different levels. We need a few different manipulatives. You may have different manipulatives, that's fine. And we need to do pictures in a couple different ways in addition to that. Various different ways coming at different aspects, making different connections in the brain with those synapses so that we have better use of our mind for understanding multiplication when we need it. Now, let's talk about teaching the algorithm based on this. The algorithm also, the standard American algorithm, let's look at the same problem. We have 23 by 13. We're going to stack that vertically for the algorithm. And in this case, it worked out, especially that there's no real regrouping, which is fabulous on our part. Because again, when you're teaching the algorithm or anything else, you want to start out with the simplest and work your way up to the more complex. So the regrouping adds complexity to problems. So we want to start out, without regrouping. And initially, you really want to start out with stacking in the teens by a number that's not going to require regrouping. So we're going to start with this 2x1, and then we're going to move into something that does require regrouping. And we're going to explain to them what happens to those numbers. Like this is 12, right? And this is 40, 40 plus 12. So it's 52. We're first multiplying the ones and then the 10x1. When we are doing a shortcut, we're going to take that 12, put the 2 in the ones place, and then 10 tens, or the 10 gets grouped with the other tens. So we're just going to make a little notation over here to remind us. We're going to add that 10 to our other tens. 10 times 4, and you want to be sure that they understand they're multiplying by 10 here. 10 times 4 is 40, plus that other 10, which gives us 52. So that is the regrouping.
Here, we're just learning 1 by 1 and 10 by 1. 1 by 1 gives us 9 in this case, and 10 times 3 gives us 30. So we have a total of 39. Now, back to this. This is where we're doing crisscross applesauce. In the standard American algorithm, you're doing these first and then these. So we're multiplying the top by the 1, the entire top number, one at a time by the 1 for this first row here. So this 3 by 3 gives us 9, and 20 times 3 gives us 60. All right, and then we are then going to multiply this entire top number by the tens place. Because we're multiplying by 10, we can just put that 0 as a placeholder, right? Because we already know whatever number we're going to multiply by is going to have a 0 there. So 3 times 1 is 3, or 3 times 10 is 30, and then 20 times 10 is 200. And then we can add those to give us our total of 293. I have an entire video on Vedic multiplication, so I'm not going to spend too much time with that, but I will show you the basics. Vedic multiplication is often represented by dots, and this is a two-digit by a two-digit. This is our ones place, and this is our tens place. And when I say crisscross applesauce, it's crisscross applesauce. So to draw those out, and I like to do a prerequisite of what we get so they understand where these numbers are coming from. So when we multiply the ones here, one by one, we get 1. 1 times 1 equals 1. So that's our ones place. This right here is our ones place. When we multiply 10 by 1, which is our crisscross, 10 times 1 gives us 10. So those numbers are going to give us our tens place. And when we multiply 10 by 10, we get 100. So let's look at what that looks like for the problem that we were just doing. We had 23 times 13. So if we stack it vertically, we're going to do our ones first. That's our first. And we actually draw the lines, so that gives us 9. And then we're going to do our tens, which, if you remember, is crisscross. So we've got 3 times 1, that's 3 tens, and 2 times 3, that's 6 tens. So we have a total of 9 tens. And then we're going to do our hundreds, which is 10 times 10. We have 2 tens and 1 ten, and that is 2, which gives our hundreds is 299 for this. And you can also be very explicit when you're teaching the algorithms where everything is coming from. So when we're doing the first one, these ones are over here, the ones by the ones, and these are our tens, these and these, and then these are our hundreds over here. The last thing that I want to show you is how well, particularly the area model multiplication, works out for algebra. What I like to do when we hit algebra is use our base 10 for our x's. Ideally, the x's would be collapsible and expandable, right? Because we don't know what that number is. But I go ahead and use these as our x's, and then the rest of our rods as the known in our expressions. Okay, so we're using variables, and if you don't remember, variables are letters
in place of numbers because we don't know what those numbers are. And so, for instance, if we have an expression x plus 3 and we're multiplying x plus 2, what do we get? We can visually represent this by building a rectangle where we have x plus 3 on one side and x plus 2 on the other. So if I were to just start this, this side would be x plus 3, right? And this side would be x plus 2. And this is going to be a rectangle. I can see the x times x is going to give us x squared. So this gives us x on this side. And then we're going to go ahead and use as many x's as we can in this. So this is our 2 on this side. This is our 2 on this side. And then we have a multiplication of 2 times 3, which we can do as 3 2s or 2 3s. It doesn't matter because we know that that multiplies to the same number. And then we're showing the quadrants here. We're separating them. Again, it ends up being place value. X squared is place value depending on what number system you are using. Okay, so we can see in this quadrant, well, first let's talk about what we have here. We have x plus 3 on this side. We have x plus 2 on this side. And this is multiplying to give us a quadratic equation. If you don't know quadratic equations, they have more than one variable and they usually have x squared in there. Okay, it doesn't have to be x. You can use another letter as a variable. So here we have x by x, which gives us x squared. So in this quadrant right here, we have x squared. Here we have three of our x's, 3x, and here we have two x's, and here we're multiplying 2 by 3, which gives us 6. We're still doing crisscross applesauce or everything multiplied by everything. You probably learned the FOIL method, right? Which is first, outside, inside, last. Basically, it's just making sure that we do our crisscross applesauce. Crisscross applesauce. And you can do it this way if you want to, just like you did it the other way, right? This gives us 6. This gives us our x's. We have 2x and 3x, so that's 5x total. And this gives us our x by x, which is x squared. And this gives us the product of that multiplication. So when we remove these and we're adding what each of those is, we can see that we have an x squared. We have a 3x and 2x. We're counting the same thing. They're all x's, so we know we have 5x's, 5 of x. And then we have 6 over here. So this is also the product. Understanding this in different levels also makes factoring polynomial equations so much easier. And that concludes the video for today. If you have made it this far, thank you so much. And I commend your perseverance. I hope something in the video was useful to you. If you have any questions, feel free to ask. You can email me at any time. You can also comment on this post, or you can leave a comment in our community area.
I hope this was helpful, and until next time, enjoy your math journey.